Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. How did that go, Pastor Lukemski? Here we are with our bright, shining faces all over our properly assigned places. I don't know. How does that go?
I don't know. I did never know that.
You never knew that
I
one?
I knew that poem, no.
I know one. Drizzle, drazzle, druzzle, drone. Time for this one to go home. Oh, Mr. Show. Yeah, remember that? That was Mr. Wizard.
Actually, I don't remember any of those.
You don't? You never watched Fractured Fairy Tales when you were a kid?
Different generation.
What are you saying? I'm older than you? I got to take better care of myself.
I don't know how that possibly could be.
Yes, this is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. That's Pastor Jolly John Lukemski, hosts, I could say right behind the Bible study, the second best program. Okay. Can I be so bold as to say it that way? Wrestling with the Basics, 9:05 every Saturday morning right here on KFUO with your sidekick?
Matt Clark.
Pastor Matt Clark.
Reverend Matt Clark.
The young guy.
Matt Youngblood Clark. That's right. That's his
nickname. Well, yeah. But is he that young?
In comparison to me, I think he's about half my age, so that makes him young.
So, Pastor Lukemski, if we cut you in half and counted the rings, how many would there be?
60 at this
point. Wow, congratulations.
Please don't cut me in half to
now,
find that out.
Last time you were here, you talked about, you looked good.
Yes.
You did an excellent lesson for us, but you were playing hurt.
Oh, that's right.
How are you doing now?
The shingles are better. The shingles are much better. There's still some, you know, scabs there where they haven't healed completely, but yeah, most of the pain is gone, and we're doing real well. Thank heavens for antivirals, because I was telling my doctor, you know, the ones that are bad are the ones that we didn't address immediately. The other ones have pretty well been taken care of. I thought, wow, what would life be like without the antivirals, and that they all would have went through the same process.
Well, you suffering from what, to put a biblical tie to this, what might have been called leprosy at the time of Jesus?
I don't know. Is it?
A skin disease?
I have no idea. I've never heard shingles compared to leprosy before.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
somewhat, I think not. I think somehow leprosy is probably a lot worse.
Well, I heard a SEM prof who was on one of the programs many years ago say that leprosy at that time could have been any number of different things.
Well, yeah. It was, like I say, a skin disease. We don't know exactly what it was. It was kind of a catch-all category. And I suppose in the severest cases of shingles, probably definitely much. Yeah.
We should also mention that it is by the good graces of two congregations, St. Paul and Trinity Lutheran Churches, that you are here.
That's right. St. Paul and New Athens, Trinity and Darmstadt. There in Southern Illinois.
Is it Oktoberfest yet?
No, but we actually have Mission Festival going on at Darmstadt. In fact, you know, if you want to have a fun time, join us at Trinity and Darmstadt at 10:30. And Matt Clark, by the way, is preaching. he's actually the guest preacher for our Mission Festival. And I tell you what, the neat thing about Darmstadt's Mission Festival, it's the only big thing they do all year long. They're a parish of about 30 people, so they don't have a lot of people, but they put on this big shebang every year, their Mission Festival, and afterwards there will be more food than you know what to do with, and more desserts than what you really should eat.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
So what might this cost?
It's free. That's the neat thing. It's a free will offering, and all the money goes to missions.
Nothing in life is free.
It is. This little country parish is still doing that. It's this coming Sunday at 10:30.
I don't think I'm doing
anything. At Darmstadt. Well, come on over. I'm sure Matt will give a good message, and you get well-fed both spiritually and bodily.
Plug that into the GPS and see if it gets me there.
I'm sure. Look us up. We're on Google.
Well, I have a setting on my GPS.
Do you?
Free food.
Well, I'm sure we'll be on there.
Takes you to the closest location. Hey, look at this, Pastor Lukemski. Yeah. I'm sure that you probably double these numbers on any given Saturday morning with Wrestling with the Basics, but 37 states online.
Is that right?
That's right, including Tuttle, Oklahoma, Avon, Ohio, and Hillsboro, Oregon.
Tuttle, Oklahoma?
That's what it says, T-U-T-T-L-E, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And 14 countries, including Grenada, Spain, India, Lima, Peru is online right now.
Is that right?
All that, yeah. So it's Grenada, Spain, not Grenada and Spain. No cards and letters. Listeners are so conscientious to point out these sorts of little mistakes as we go through our day. Yeah. Well, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6, I have it confirmed by at least three other outside sources.
Can I do one more plug?
Of course.
Because it is getting time for our October performance of the Open House Theater in New Athens there, and we are doing the HMS Pinafore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, if you, that's just a hilarious, hilarious musical comedy. And this is coming straight to us from Her Majesty's Theater in London, England.
It is.
Yes, direct from there to
So the world tour starts.
Well, actually, it was like 1878 when they proposed. So maybe not quite so direct, but we're doing it.
Well, in a roundabout way.
It finally got to New Athens after, what, 150 years?
I mean, Paul eventually got to Rome as well. So,
that's right.
You know, so it just took a little bit of time.
October 17th, 18th, and 19th, those are evening performances at 7:30. And then Sunday afternoon, we got a matinee at 2.
So that's just a little less than a month away. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. We're as ready as we're going to be, I suppose. if there's anybody out there who would like to join the chorus, we're still trying to recruit people for the chorus, so just give me a call.
Really? Do you have to sing? You have to sing well.
Oh, yes, I'm singing. Well, no, in the chorus, you mean? Yeah. Well, yeah, you need to sing, and you need to be able to memorize the songs. I think that's probably the biggest challenge.
You ask so much.
I know. So, we better get on. We've got work to do.
Well, Romans 8 verses 5, it's only two verses.
It's
we
only
have to
two
fill
verses.
The time with something.
I noticed that you were doing a lot more filling.
Well, I figured the fewer verses I give you, the less complaining I'll get when you sit in the chair.
Well, you've got a complaint right off the bat. I'm sorry. I'm going to be known as the whining
ahead.
Bible study
pastor. We'll confess that when we pray in a moment as well.
Okay, I have to cough. There's no cough button.
All right, hang on. Go ahead.
All right, thank you.
I should have turned off my mic also.
So here's the scoop. I appreciate the fact that you're doing this, a couple of verses at a time, because you really want to get a very comprehensive, detailed look at the book of Romans, and I appreciate that. But you do realize that there's a great danger in doing this as well.
People will get bored. That was radio. Radio is an interesting animal, and it's been so enculturated into the American ear that you worry about this. Can we do 3 months?
3 months
in the book
on
of
just
Romans?
One book.
Yeah.
Well, trust me, we've been doing Wrestling the Basics for 25 years, and boredom was never an issue for us. We just figured if that's how it is, that's how it is. You know, live with it.
Yeah.
Well, can we read the verses, or do you want to start with a prayer?
Well, prayer usually is the format.
I know that's always the
but
format.
I'll follow your lead. That's what I'm here to do.
Okay. Well, let's read the text. Let's do something different. Let's break out of the mold. Let's read the text.
And now for something completely different. Where have I heard that before?
That's right. And I'll make a brief comment, and then we'll pray about
it. Right.
We'll express the concern, and then we can pray about it.
Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace.
So the problem is, when we take out a couple of verses like this, we have no idea what the context is. And apart from the context, we might draw some really wrong conclusions about these verses.
You read my outline.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're psychically connected. So I'm thinking about this, and I would think, without the context, what we would conclude is that God is dividing the world up into two groups.
Oh, yeah.
And we have the fleshly group, and we know what those people are like. They're the ones that are gambling, having abortions, looking at pornography, being unfaithful to their families and stuff like that. So they're doing all those immoral things, drunkenness, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got those in the spirit, which are the people that go to church, and they say their prayers, as we're going to do, and read their Bibles and have their hands folded all the time. But you see, if that's the conclusion you draw from these verses, you ain't been paying attention, have you? Have you, Roland? So now I'm ready
to
pray.
I have to. It's my job.
Well, yeah, you've been paying attention.
Right.
But anyone who would conclude that this is all about dividing the world into the people with the white hats and the people with the black hats on the basis of their morality has no idea what Paul's talking about when he talks about flesh and spirit. So I'm ready to pray. Oh, Lord, we really do need your Spirit. Paul is serious here. Without the Spirit, there is nothing but death. And so you give us the Spirit now and guide Roland and I in our words, that we may help people see the great joy and the promise that you have in these two words in your book. You wrote them in the book of Romans. So guide us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to join Pastor Lukumsky, you can by dialing 820. Listen to me.
Yeah?
My goodness. You know what? Yesterday we had a great phone call.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. It was from a fellow in Nebraska who had to pull his tractor over for a moment and call in. It was the coolest
Don't you
thing.
I love that. Don't
and
you
I want to give out the 800 number first. For anyone in their tractor, we'd love to hear from you today. 1-800-730-2727. Locally, 821-0850. Try the email. Works great. KFUO@KFUO.org. Okay. Now, since there's got to be a reason why Paul is taking the time to discern two groups of people.
Right.
So tell me, what does a true Christian look like?
Well, I tell you what, I'd rather look at the text than just start asking, answering questions.
All right.
I want to point out the thing that I was alluding to. What's the context of this, Roland?
It's in the Bible. It's Bible-y.
Can we read the first four verses, though, is what I'm saying.
The first four
verses? Before we get to five
and
six.
Where is that large print 600-pound Lutheran study Bible? Do you have it in front of you?
Sure. I can look it up.
Oh, wait a minute.
Where's my Bible? Oh, it's right in front of me.
All right. Here's mine.
Okay. I got it.
I've got the Challenge tiny print Lutheran study Bible.
This is enormous. I didn't see this other Bible over here.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Okay, and then we get into what we have. But so the context here is that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
Woohoo!
The context here is that we've been set free again in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So what we need to understand is that everything Paul's talking to us about these two verses has to do with faith and the forgiveness and redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have that context. Otherwise, like I said, you're going to turn this into just another morality text trying to distinguish between the people that are doing the bad stuff.
That's why I asked the first question I did. I want to know sheep, and I want to know goats.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I want
exactly.
to know to tell the difference. Because, you only want to hang out with the good folks, right?
Well, that's funny, because Jesus said, I came into this world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said that this is a true saying, I am the worst of sinners.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true, that we're not supposed to be hanging out. In fact, the problem is, if you really listen to the scripture, you got to hang out with sinners. You wouldn't be hanging out with anybody. You would be a recluse somewhere, because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's the tricky question. What does a Christian look like? I don't want to mislead people. If you read Paul's letter to the Galatians, there are some actually very striking descriptions of the difference between those that are in the spirit and those in the flesh. You want me to read those words?
Well, go ahead, because I was eventually going to get us into Colossians 3.
Oh, well, that's another good text.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do Galatians. If Colossians is fitting, do that. So Paul says, now the works of the flesh. So we're doing the same thing here again. It's contrasted between flesh and spirit. So the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Wow.
All the stuff that makes life worth living. There you go.
Yeah, and things like these, he says. I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So yeah, there's no doubt that there are some visible differences between those who are in the flesh and those who are in the spirit. What Paul is wrestling with in our two verses is, why are those differences there?
Oh, so it's not just a descriptive.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can kind of point these things out, but we need to understand why the differences are there. Otherwise, we'll never be able to change things.
But,
we'll never be able to make things different.
But seriously, for a moment, what difference does why make?
Well, it makes difference in terms of the results. I know I'm supposed to turn my phone off.
No, go ahead, take it. We got plenty of time. We got 40 minutes. Go right ahead.
That's right. I'll be taking my phone calls as you go ahead and talk while I visit with these people.
And now for something completely
different. I'm sorry. Now I'm totally distracted.
I was asking,
you want to know why.
Why is important? Why is the question why important?
Okay.
It is not the result, the consequence,
right,
the more important thing. You've got sheep, you've got goats, you've got those living by the flesh, those living by the spirit. What difference does why make?
Well, the difference that why makes is because, first of all, we obviously don't want to be those who are doing the things that are described here in the flesh.
Yeah.
I think we can all acknowledge these are bad things. No one likes it when there's fits of anger and rivalries, dissensions, and jealousy and strife. I think we can all say, yeah, that's bad, so we don't want that.
Right.
But if we don't understand where that comes from and how these things come about, the why of it, then how do we know that we can avoid these things? How do we know that we won't simply fall into these traps? Or what's worse, how do we know that we haven't become hypocrites like the Pharisees, who were like whited sepulchers? So on the outside, you couldn't can't see these things, but they were definitely there on the inside, see? Hmm. And I'm thinking that's probably not good either, to have maybe kind of control the outer things and still having the strife and the lust and the anger and all of that stuff going on inside.
That's what it's so enjoyable to do a lesson with you, Pastor Lukumsky, because here I think I've got everything set out in my mind in this, and then you take me in a completely different direction.
Oh, well, good.
All right.
Good. I would like to think it's the scripture that takes all of us in a completely different direction.
That is true.
Because we come with an assumption that the Bible is going to tell us what it is to be good and what it is to be bad. And ultimately, that's not what the Bible's concerned about. Okay?
So as Paul
that's a fruit and a consequence, not what the Bible really wants to direct us to.
As Paul describes these two different groups, these two different worlds, can we call that, in which people live.
Okay.
Can you live in two worlds at the same time?
Can we jump on that right away?
Yeah, please.
Because here's where the deception is in the English. Because the English talks about, where are those verses again?
Five and six.
Those who live according. See, it used the word live. And it's interesting that word is not in the Greek. That's not in the word that God gave us, that he inspired. Because again, when you start talking living talk, you're talking about external behavior.
Exactly.
This is what people do. This is how they live. The neat thing here is in the Greek, the word actually is their being. Their existence, their ontological, because that's it. It's ontos in the Greek. So this is what their essence is. This is what they're all about. It's not a matter of what they're doing. It is a matter of what they are. In fact, that's actually what the word is. It's a form of the word eimi, which means to be. So it's not a matter of what they're doing. It's a matter of what they are. These are flesh people. And there is consequences of being flesh people, as there is also some consequences of being spirit people.
So I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
That's exactly right. I didn't know you knew Popeye, the great philosopher. He's from Chester, you know.
That's my
part of the country.
I always brush up on my Illinois trivia.
They have a statue of the great philosopher of Popeye, and of course, olive oil and the rest of the gang. So that's the key thing. See, and if we really know what Paul's saying, he's not talking about living. He's not talking about what people are doing. He's talking about what people are. And see, here's where I begin to think that Paul isn't trying to divide the world up into two groups. Because Paul has also confessed that the good he wants to do, he does not do. And the evil he doesn't want to do, he does. In fact, I think you probably had that just a few days ago.
Yes, we did.
Didn't you? That was in chapter 7. So what Paul is emphasizing is there's something in all of us that is of the flesh. In fact, how do you prove that? How can you prove that, Roland, that there's something in all of us that's in the flesh?
How can I prove it?
Yeah,
here
it's
I
very
is.
Easy to prove it.
Here I is.
Well, how do we know you're not all of the spirit, though?
Because I still have this excessively meaty portion around my middle that says I am not all spirit.
Martin Luther. I love this about Martin Luther, because he would have picked right up on what you were saying. He said, you know, so we go to the supper, and of course the thing we do before we go to the Lord's Supper is we confess we're sinners. Why,
right.
Why would we be going to the supper, which is the body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, if you're not sinners? Mm-hmm. And his advice was, if you doubt that you're a sinner, then just stick your hand inside your shirt, he said, and
is
see
your
if you're
beating?
Still made of flesh.
Yeah.
And if you are, well, then you are a sinner. What I actually was going for was the fact that you're going to die.
Well, no,
that's what he says here. We only got two lousy verses, but that's what he says, right? Those in the flesh die, as if flesh leads to death. So this is the evidence that apparently you are fleshly. Okay, the fact that we die, and it is the thing that Paul understood too, that he would say, I'm the worst of sinners. Because this, we're not dividing the world up into two groups. We're confronting the reality that everything, every man, every woman, every child, I guess we could just go on with giving just different descriptions, every senior citizen. But if you're human, you are of the flesh. But here's the opportunity now, through Jesus Christ, who has come to redeem us and bring us forgiveness, we can also be of the spirit too, all at the same time.
That's confusing.
It is confusing, but that's the whole point. This is something that you will not reason out by your own logic or strength. It is something that the Spirit comes and gives you to understand. See,
but there certainly must be some code of conduct I have to follow.
Well, of course there's a code of conduct. It's called the law. It's called the Ten Commandments, and Paul has told us over and over again in this book, is this a bad thing? No, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a holy thing.
I thought we were free from the law.
Well, that's the problem. When you start contemplating the law, you confront the fact that you are still fleshly. You're still sinful. So if you're running that way in order to find some way to make yourself look good in the eyes of God, then you're going to find yourself heading straight for hell.
Hmm.
Okay? Because the law makes us... What was that passage you had? What was it? In Romans 3? No one is righteous before God by the law, but by the law comes knowledge of sin. Yeah, which is why you got to be free from the law.
Yeah, sadly, the law, I think he actually says the law promotes sin.
Yeah, well, it does. Well, he says that, doesn't he? He says, I didn't know I was coveting until the law came and said I should not covet. And
then I wanted to covet.
I'm doing. I'm all the place I'm coveting. And you know, that's the honest to God truth, because we just preached about coveting not a few weeks ago. And I was thinking, I imagine most people don't think that they're coveting at all, but we covet all the time, because coveting is wanting more than what we have, not being satisfied with what God has given us. And I do that all the time. Oh, don't you wish you had that new 5S phone?
I you know, if you work, and a lot of folks out there who are not, you know, pulling tractors right now, may work for big corporations. And you know, in a big corporation, you have this thing called a performance review.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you're supposed to come in and tell them everything that you accomplished last year and everything you want to accomplish the year coming and how within 5 years you want to be vice president of the corporation. I defy you to sit there in that meeting and look that supervisor in the eye and say, I'm content.
That's right.
They're going to fast track you out the back door. See, and that's the problem. The real world just doesn't operate like that.
And
if you try and operate like that, well...
And thank you. Thank you for making that point.
Yeah.
Because, see, if we reduce this simply to the issues of abortion, immorality, pornography, and everything, honest to God, you probably can overcome that. Seriously. There's probably most people who listen to us, they don't really wrestle with those things. Although there probably are some people listening to us now that do. But probably for the majority of people. But see, this is, it's just what you said. What Paul is addressing here is fundamental. It's basic. Everything in the world is involved with the flesh, and it is in direct contradiction to what God wants to do in the spirit.
Yeah.
Gosh, we had this so powerfully this last Sunday where Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, you do these things to justify yourself before men, but what is justified before men is an abomination to God. See? And we don't want to do that. We want everything to be kind of, well, it's kind of all right. And the biblical thought is, no, the way the world thinks is just totally an abomination. It's totally contrary to the way the Lord thinks. Can I give you one concrete example?
Please.
All right. So suffering. The world says, that's bad. That's horrible. We don't want any suffering. But for the Christian, realize, well, actually, suffering can be a good thing. It's a discipline that comes to us from a Father who loves us. See, the world rejects the cross. The world says that glory and happiness and blessing is what's important. And we come and say, well, there's nothing wrong with glory and happiness. Yeah, they're, no one's saying that's
cool,
wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, struggles, suffering, these are cool, too. These are good. If they come from the Lord, everything is good. And so again, what Jesus says is absolutely true. What the world thinks is important and great is actually not just, it's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord.
One of those remarkable moments that you're gifted with having, you don't realize it at the time, it always comes to you later, having watched a daughter nearly die at 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Finally wandered back into the job that I have at that time, and everybody was asking, how's it going?
Yeah.
Is everything okay? And ultimately I said, well, it would have been okay either way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, and they look at you like you got horns.
Yeah, see, that's because that makes no sense to them. They have no understanding.
You know, David, I know I will see this child again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and if you believe in an eternity, a life of salvation, a place in the Father's mansions, you're right. Then your whole view about what's going on here, about death itself, it's totally different than the way the world
looks
at it.
She was baptized 4 days before that, so it was all good.
Yeah.
It was all good. But you can't say that and be counted a sane person. This is the Bible study, where sanity is never called into question. Pastor Jolly John Lukomsky is here with me this morning. We're in Romans chapter 8, with just two little verses.
Two little verses.
Not much here. How are we going to fill the next half hour? Well, I tell you what, Mike, you stay on hold. We'll come to you right after the break with your phone calls, comments, and questions. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at... KFUO.org. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Have you ever missed the live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, and it's convenient, and you will never miss another program. KFUO is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
That's
bear.
What we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us, live streaming archive.
Martin Luther once said, "My heart, which is so full to overflowing, has often been solaced and refreshed by music when sick and weary." Are you in need of solace today? Try another ministry of KFUO Radio, beautiful classical music and sacred classics online 24 hours a day at classic99.com. It's our gift to you. Classic99.com, a ministry of KFUO Radio.
Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky is here, who has just informed me in the last 5 minutes, I'm going to die. Thank you. I was hoping to make it past Wednesday before you
Well, not now, necessarily. I hope not. Because has that ever happened on air? Has anyone died while we're doing the Bible study?
Not in my tenure.
Okay, not in my tenure.
Not
either,
on my tenure
so
either.
I'm just thinking that would be kind of...
Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. And boy, look at this. We've got a board full of calls already. You've struck a nerve here.
Let's start with
as promised, Mike has been very kind to hang on for
a
while
here.
Doing? Mike, good morning.
Listen, this is just a follow-up from what we were talking about yesterday, but I want to ask your opinion on this. But didn't Jesus symbolically become the Lamb without blemish when Pilate declared him just before the hostile crowd? And the phrase Lamb without blemish was symbolic and had nothing to do with Jesus' physical state or appearance?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Well, yesterday, thank you, Mike, we got into a little bit of a discussion about the crucifixion and what actually caused the death. And it's not about what caused the death. It's the fact that he gave up his spirit.
Right.
You know, no man can take my life from me, but
I lay it down.
Yeah, that was the bigger point that was being made.
So I would think, Mike, the blemish there. And of course, after he was beaten and all of that stuff, pretty much blemish. Well, in fact, you know, that's what Isaiah says. We wouldn't want to even look at him. He looks so horrible. So from that sense, of course, he was covered with blemish. He was covered with all of our sins.
Absolutely.
But the being without blemish is that he was holy and perfect and the perfect sacrifice for our sins as well.
You know, I went to the Passion of the Christ. I saw the screening that was sponsored by KFUO. It was over in Illinois.
Yeah.
I went to that, and you know, you couldn't breathe for an hour after you came out of that film.
No, it's intense. Yeah.
And I went out when it was released on DVD.
Yeah.
It's still wrapped in plastic. I haven't taken that.
Is that right?
I can't watch that again.
Yep. There's a lot of people that just don't, and a lot of people wouldn't watch it the first time because they heard about how intense.
But you know, the amazing thing is what they said.
What's that?
Mike's point. No normal man could have endured such a thing. Like, no kidding. Yeah.
That's,
you know, that's one of those lines
of
like, let his blood be upon us and our children. Well, yeah. Back to the phones.
Yeah.
Linda, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. Now, I'm sorry. This is not about the Bible study, but you did something that brought a memory of my father back to me. Every morning he would sing, "Good morning to you, good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright, shiny faces, and this is the way to start a new day."
So that's
that
it, then, Linda.
Poem.
That's it. That's right. I couldn't remember that. Thank you.
Thank you,
Linda. I appreciate you waiting.
Well,
thanks for sharing
some
that.
Some of the people haven't started to lose their memory as you and I. So where was that context of that? Where did that come from? Was that just a poem?
That was just a poem. I remember that when I was a little kid in grade school.
Is that right?
That's the way I had a first grade teacher that would start the day.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're all in our places with bright, shining faces. And I would love to see yours sitting across from me every time we do this. Okay. Now, for those who join us a little bit late, we were talking about the distinction Paul is making between two things. But right. It's not really a distinction between two things. Right?
Well, yes. It's the things that exist within all of us. There is the flesh. It is the result that will die. But there is the spirit, too. That's what we're trying to offer people here in this radio show. We're trying to offer people an alternative, as it were. It's not going to eliminate the flesh. Paul, as we said, confesses, I'm still the worst of sinners. Mm-hmm. I still struggle with this stuff. That's not done. The flesh is still
but
here.
But that's not license to do as you want, though.
No, it isn't. Of course, the last time I was here, that was the issue he was dealing with in Romans 6. Now, right. Now that we should say, well, let's sin more, you know, because we got forgiveness. No, of course. Of course not, because we are now people that have the Spirit, and as he says in this text, the Spirit is a whole different thing. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is peace. It's not death, okay? So no, we don't want the flesh to control us, although you can't avoid the fact that it's there. But that's the point. There's these two things, and what he's trying to say here is when the flesh is all fleshly, there's no making it better. There's no making it good. In fact, that's why the flesh ends up in death. Because this is all you can do with it. You can kill it. Here's the biggest problem in our world right now. We're trying to reform it. We're trying to make it better. And this
Oh, no, we're building heaven on earth. Have you not noticed?
Okay, so we can go even further than that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, because that actually leads me to what I think the distinction Paul would make between flesh and the spirit. Would you like to hear what I think the distinction is?
That's
between?
Why you're here, sir.
Okay, I think the things of the flesh, and that's what he says. If you are being a fleshly thing, not just living, but if you're being a fleshly thing, then you will, where's the thing?
For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh.
Set their minds on the things of the flesh. The Greek word there is a word that has a sense of thinking, thought. But I think in the context and the way it's used most of the time in Scripture, it means to be on the side of, to be a fellow with. So, example, Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, you know, after Peter, what? Oh, this is classic. This is exactly what we're talking about. So Jesus says, I'm going to do what? I'm going to suffer and die. I'm going to go to the cross. And what's Peter's response?
Oh, no, you ain't.
Yeah, and that's a response of the flesh, see? Because the world says, well, this can't be good. Suffering to death can't be good.
Yeah, because if they really understood, they'd be going, pack the bag, let's go now.
That's right. Can we move this along?
Yes.
We really do want to sit on your right and left in your glory, and we understand that that will require our suffering and death. But he says to him, you have on your mind the things of men, not the things of God. And it's the same phrase. It's the same concept. So if you're in the flesh, you're on the side of the flesh. This is how it is. If you're in the spirit, on the other hand, you have your mindset or you're part of the party on the same side as that of the spirit. Go ahead.
The Greek fascinates me here. If I could get you to expand a little bit on what the Greek is here. And when you talk about setting your mind, did I hear you touch on the word fellowship, perhaps?
I think you either have fellowship with the flesh or fellowship with the spirit?
Yeah,
I think it would. Man, I'm looking towards somewhere I have the notes. Because the idea of the word here is that it's like you're of the same party.
Yeah.
So whatever party you belong to, you know, Democrat or Republican, that's the kind of idea of the set the mind here. So you're either in the mindset and the framework, buddies with the flesh, or you're in the mindset and framework of the spirit. And what I was going to say, and then I got myself distracted. I do that a lot. You shouldn't have so many bright, shiny things in here. Look at that. That's really, look at those lights up there rolling.
That one still doesn't work, but we're working on it.
Well, you know, back in the old days, we just had this rather drab studio and I could concentrate on the Bible. But oh, look at the flashing lights. So here's the thing. Works. For the flesh, it's all about works. And it can be about evil works. Yeah. It can be about satisfying the flesh with lust and anger, drunkenness, whatever. But it can also be about, oh, I'm going to be so holy. I'm going to be so good. I'm going to fold my hands so everyone will know that I'm a very pious person. Because that's what it's all about in the flesh. It's all about in the works, either good or bad, but it's all about works, okay? And in the spirit, you know, it's all about faith. It's all about trust. It's all about Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, and who has promised to make everything work together for our good, and who, even when we die, will give unto us eternal life. That's what it's all about. It's all about his love and his forgiveness and the grace and mercy that he's extended to us that we then, in turn, extend to others. And that's the difference. It's the difference between faith and works. That's the difference between flesh and spirit. And it's really hard for us to understand that because we want to make it about the works. See, that's how fleshly we are. Even when we come to Christianity, we still want to make it about works.
Even when we don't want to make it about works, we make it.
Yeah, then that becomes a work. See, that's the problem we Lutherans have. We think, well, we're the only people that understand. Oh, you fool.
821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. If you happen to be there in Spain or India or Peru,
just
send us a note. Let us know how you're listening to the program, where you're listening, and let us know if you have a question or a comment. Otherwise, use the phone lines. They work great. So when it comes to the flesh, the problem, see, you struck another chord in me here. Yep. I'm scribbling things down all over my page.
I noticed that. Yeah.
I always keep these notes too, because you never know when they may come in handy again.
There you go.
But it's not so much that the flesh, how do I want to put this? It's the issue with the flesh is not falling into sin, but it's becoming complacent about that sin that puts you in the world of the flesh.
Yes, you're right. It's the failure to repent. Thank you. That's another term we need, because that, again, that is the difference between that of the flesh and that of the spirit. And see, isn't it interesting? Because it can work several ways. It can work in the fact that you just give yourself up to the sin. And you say, I'm doing this, and who gives a damn? Okay. But it could also be from the standpoint that you don't really think that you're a sinner. And then what I'm doing isn't that bad. And therefore, I don't really need to repent of it. It's okay. And strangely enough, those are both things that come from the flesh.
What about presuming on the grace of God? I will do it anyway, but God will forgive me.
Yeah, there you go. That would be yet another third category of the flesh, isn't it? It's okay because, as we've talked about, I can do this. God's going to forgive me anyway.
It's in the contract.
What was the description? Here's the interesting thing. When Jesus was talking about sending the Spirit, do you remember what the key thing he said the Spirit would do?
Comfort.
Yeah, that's the second thing the Spirit does. But what's the first thing the Spirit's doing is going to accuse the world of sin.
That's right.
See, that's what the Spirit's going to do. When you got the Spirit, no, you're never complacent. In fact, you're like Paul. You're saying, I don't know what to do. Who will free me from this body of death? This is not a good thing that I want to do sin. This is a horrible thing.
Oh, it's worse than being a teenager in love.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. So there you go. See, you've highlighted another contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. Again, the flesh really doesn't care. And the Spirit says, oh, man, I'm always concerned. In fact, I am so concerned even when I'm doing good. I know that there's evil and wickedness in what's going on.
All right.
Could I give you yet another illustration? Because you know where Paul's getting this stuff from, don't you? I bet you can guess where he gets his stuff from, where he gets his good stuff
from.
Now,
what is it? What is it that you use there on wrestling? Is it the BBBB?
Oh, the big, incredibly beautiful Bible machine.
Yeah,
incredibly
that's it.
Big, beautiful, brainy, brawny
Bible machine. No, not perhaps.
Well, actually, he's getting it from the guy that's the author of the IBBBBBM. He's getting it from Jesus. Because is this not the same concept of Jesus talking about the good tree and the bad tree? And the one bears good fruit, the other bears bad fruit. But you see, we hear that, and again, because we're sinners, we put it right into the context of works again, right? Oh, Jesus is talking about the good tree does all these good things, and the bad tree does all the bad things. But no, what Jesus is saying, he's saying, that's the key. It's what the tree is. It's not the fruit. It's what the tree is.
Yes, yeah.
See, because we could take an apple tree and we could tie peaches on it, but it's still a what?
It's an apple tree.
Okay, so what we need to do...
I can imagine what you do in your spare time to come up with these things.
We need to work on the tree, that's what I'm saying. See, and what we want to do is we want to work on the works, and that's an exercise in futility. It'll never do anything except make you a really good damned hypocrite.
But why? Why are some people, when Paul talks about walking in the Spirit, why are some people so much more equipped? Some people just seem to be able to do this effortlessly, or at least it appears
do
to be.
Do what?
Walk in the Spirit. It's a struggle for me.
Okay.
I'm Paul.
But then I'm thinking you're walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because it would never be easy.
I'm sorry. I'm fixating on works again because I'm watching what they do. Thank you.
Exactly.
Okay. I just slipped into it like that.
Because those who are truly in the Spirit, and again, remember, it's not living in the Spirit, but they are of the being of the Spirit. The Spirit is their essence. We are one with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For them, it's constantly a struggle, even as it was with Jesus. Jesus doesn't go into the garden and say, all right, Lord, come on, let's kill me. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, Lord, you know, take this cup away from me if it's possible, but not my will. See, this is what it is to be in the Spirit. And you're right again. This is the worldly view. So why do you want to be a Christian? So things can be so easy. And I have to tell my congregation, that's why you signed up, because you thought this would make everything better. It's kind of like having the spiritual rabbit's foot. And so now everything's... And so then problems and trials come, and you're whining and complaining. Well, what's this? I go to church every week. I'm saying, you weren't paying attention. Jesus Christ said from the very beginning that if you're going to follow me, you got to hate your life. You've got to take up your cross. No, this is part of being in the Spirit. And here's the incredible thing. He says that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The source, of course, is bad. The source is our sin, the sin of the world, the devil. But because we have Jesus Christ, no, it's actually a good thing. In the end, can I tell you, you were telling your personal story, and, and I'm touched by that, because it is a perfect example of how God comes and he provides his comfort in a situation where there should be no comfort at all.
Oh, yeah.
And indeed, the world thinks, how could there be any? You know, I had the handicapped wife.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a really, really terrible burden. And I don't want anybody to get the impression that I walked in the Spirit in the sense that I woke up every day as shining, bright faces and said, oh, this is so great that my wife's handicapped. No, it was incredibly hard, incredibly difficult. But I look back upon that and I realize, man, God taught me how to love. And I didn't have any idea. I didn't have any idea how to love.
Yeah.
When I married her, of course, I said, oh, I will love you until death do us part. But I had no idea what love was. And through that, the Lord taught me how to love. And I've got a wife now. And I think I probably love her better than what I would have if I hadn't been through those experiences. At least I understand now what love is going to involve. And it's not what the world thinks. It is what the Spirit understands and tries to give us to understand. And you learned that, too, through the sacrifices and the difficulties you had, because you were sharing with me that it made it kind of rough for you and your wife for a while after
yeah,
that, too.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah. But you guys are still together, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Nobody else to fight with. I got to stay with her.
Well, there you go. I'm just saying. See, in many instances, that's the end of the marriage. It really is. But no, see.
28 years this year.
Ah, congratulations.
28 years.
Congratulations.
But I will tell you this, and this is the miracle of radio. This is the great gift that God has given people through this radio station.
Yeah.
We walked that with you.
Yes,
and you made me better because of it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's the good thing about what we're doing here, and where you're just not... See, people don't understand this. You're not going to find the Spirit that many places. Well, you'll find it wherever the Word of God is preached and proclaimed. But unfortunately, what you're going to find mostly is a lot of fleshly stuff about religion is about having fancy cars and big homes, and religion is about all the good works you're supposed to do and everything. But to find the true religion, as Paul teaches it in Romans, where it is just about faith and the fact that we are forgiven and justified by Jesus Christ, and that radically changes everything in our lives now. You're not going to find that most places.
Yeah. See, and that's so true, because when you read this about flesh and spirit, it seems that the opposite. He says flesh is death, spirit is life,
right.
But the world comes along and says, oh, no.
No,
just
that's
right. The opposite is true.
Yep, yeah. Well, that's what I liked about that phrase, where he says the things that justify, that the men praise are an abomination to God, and it's just hard for us to wrestle with that. Because the world is all about glory. That's what ultimately it is. In fact, isn't that strange? They take Christianity and make it all about the glory of what we're going to get in the end. And really, Christianity is about, it's about love, a sacrificial love that we don't have to, we just do. It's just part of our life. And of course, it does end up in glory, no doubt about that. But there is no glory apart from that sacrifice, apart from that cross, and certainly not apart from the sacrifice and cross of Jesus Christ. So,
how do I... this commendation that we are to die to self and live for Christ. How do you do that?
See, again, you are so sinful. I don't even know why I do this show with you. I'm leaving.
But if he tells us to do it, aren't we supposed to do it?
Well, see, here's the thing. What you're supposed to do is say, I can't do
that. I can't.
That.
Well, that's why I'm asking how
I
to do it.
I don't want to do that either.
Are you presuming I've been successful with this? Because let me tell you, brother, call my wife.
Well, see, here's my point. Do you think at any point in time I said, Lord, I want you to make my marriage just absolutely miserable. I want you to give me a wife who's totally crippled and handicapped so that I can learn to walk in the Spirit. Of course you don't do that. Of course, because we are of the flesh. but God does it for us. I've got a good friend I love, and he comes and we counsel everyone, and he really wrestles with pride. And my answer to him is, I'm glad you keep doing that. The day you stop wrestling with that, that's when you're going to have problems. But then I also tell him, you don't need to worry about pride, because trust me, God will keep you humble. I have learned that the hard way. Whenever I get proud, God comes in and says, really?
Yes.
You're that good, you think?
I thought I was the only one that had that moment. Yeah, several of them. Thank you.
But again, take Peter. Take Peter. Oh, Lord, I'll go to prison with you. Yeah. I'll die with you. Okay, all right, Peter. We'll see how that works out. David, the great mighty king, falls into adultery and murder. I'm just telling you, that's how it works. God's going to get it done. And he's very, very faithful in accomplishing these things. But you need to understand that the things that Christ wants to accomplish in us, in terms of keeping us in the Spirit, being in the Spirit, not living in the Spirit, but being in the Spirit, is going to require a certain amount of struggles and trials and just enough blessings and glories, because he never gives us more than we can bear, but always provides a way out, the Bible promises. So,
can we take a quick look at Colossians?
Yeah, you said you wanted to do Colossians. Because it's outside of my contract, did you realize?
No.
But that's okay. I'm not getting paid for this anyway.
You took me off script, so this is what we have to do, because we have 10 minutes left, and you got to fill the time.
I know that. See, now, if we were doing a Sunday morning thing, people would be glad that I was done.
No.
They would not complain that I stopped early. Where's Colossians? I'm fine.
See, that's why I have these tabs.
A-E-I-O.
I have tabs in mind. It's right after Philemon, I think.
Okay,
Philippians.
I got it.
No, it's Phil.
Got it. You just remember the vowels. A-E-I-O,
yeah.
Right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So where at?
If you then have been raised with Christ,
I don't know where
things.
You're at. I'm in
Colossians chapter 3.
I'm sorry.
Chapter 3,
okay.
Right at the start.
Okay, I gotcha.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above. This sounds very familiar.
Yes, it is. It's
to
a
Romans,
theme
which is why
over and over
this.
Again. Same thing that Jesus said to Peter, right? You got your mind on the things of men, not on the things of God. Go ahead.
Verse 5, put to death. That's why I asked you about this putting to death business. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion. And you had that list down pretty good.
Oh, there it is again. So the same thing he said in Philippians. Thank you. It's like the same thing is said over and over again. Have you ever noticed that?
Those silly Greeks. There's not much variation among them. It's always the same problems. Have you noticed? It's always the same thing. And then you go through this, and it seems to me that in Romans, Paul is spending time describing things, but now you get to Colossians or you get to the other epistles, and it seems like he's commanding these things now. So that's why I keep asking about behavior, because when he says, put to death, therefore, that's telling me to do something, isn't it?
But look at this. Look at this, because I think this is I think we got the Spirit working here, that we've been led to this passage, because it says, first of all, put to death, therefore, what is
earthly
in you? So this is a reality. This is there, okay? So he's not talking about something that was in the past. He's talking about something that it is now. So that's key number one. Whatever's going on here, it's there. It's in you. This earthly is in you. And indeed, that's why I said before, it's why you got to die. It's the only thing we can do with your earthliness, with your flesh, is return it to the earth, okay? But now we've got the challenging thing. What does Paul mean when he says to put it to death?
Yeah.
And again, because we are sinners, we immediately think, oh, we've got to really work hard and struggle and try to overcome all this stuff. That's what it is. It's all about us putting in that extra effort, going the extra mile, see? And no. Paul has already established what it is to put it to death. It is the two things you talked about earlier. Number one, to repent, to acknowledge it's there. That's how you begin to kill it. And then secondly, you go to Jesus Christ, who has died, and we have died with Christ in baptism. See? It's not about our efforts, not about our works. Same thing you and I talked about in Romans 6. It's about faith. It's about realizing the reality is it has been killed by Jesus Christ. It died with him on the cross. And if we've died with Jesus, then we shall also be resurrected with him and live with him.
Jump to verse 12.
Okay.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Well, now that's a little bit much, isn't it?
You know, again, see, we got these verbs, these exhortations, put on. But I'm thinking somewhere in the Bible, does he not say that we should put on Christ?
Yeah.
So how do you put this stuff on?
Literally, yeah.
Again, it's faith. It's believing that I have been cleansed by the blemishless Lamb of Christ. And now, as he says in Ephesians, now that we have this, we are the bride. We are without blemish. We are holy and perfect. And the fruit of this, then, is all the things that come here. These are the consequences of being the good tree. And how do you get to be the good tree? By being the forgiven tree, the tree of faith. And then all of these things follow. And it does tickle me. What's the last thing that comes from the fruit is we forgive, right?
Yeah.
We forgive as we have been what?
Forgiven.
See, there he's laid it out for you. This is how it works. You get it from Jesus, and then it flows out from you. And it's the same image that Christ uses all over. I am the branch. You are the vine.
I'm
the vine.
You are the branch.
So I had a wedding Saturday, and I get up and I say, who takes this man to be married to this woman? And the father was going, I guess her mother and I do, but I. And my wife says to me, are you not hydrated properly? So I got to drink some more of this. You give me the water. I need to start drinking it. No, it's not. He is the vine. We are the branches. And apart from him, we can do what, Roland?
Nothing.
Okay. So have you understood what Paul is saying? Yeah, he uses these exhortations, but he's already established in Colossians, in Romans, in Ephesians. The key thing is that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. So repent of your sin. Quit thinking it's something you're going to overcome by your own strength. Repent of that. Acknowledge, by the way, that it is a horrible, terrible thing. It really isn't. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's an abomination. And then let the Lord work on you the way he wants to work on you.
So as it goes on to say a little bit further in Colossians 3, this peace isn't that you've got it all worked out.
No.
Is that you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. That's right. We are no longer warring with God. We're on the same side in the same battle that is going on in our flesh even as we speak.
Let's grab a quick phone call before we have to let you go. Pastor Lukumsky, Marilyn, thank you for waiting.
Yes, I wanted to quickly say I know that many Lutheran pastors and others of you do listen or watch Bill O'Reilly. And tonight he is going to have a pastor on, Jeffries, I think is his name, and talking about Bill O'Reilly's latest book, The Killing of Jesus.
Oh.
I didn't know if I wanted to read that book. I mean, I did see The Passion of Christ rolling as you did with all the Lutherans, and I did see Luther, which I marveled at completely. But I think that people would enjoy listening to what this pastor and Bill O'Reilly have to say about this, because his writings have been wonderful, and he is a Christian, although not of the Lutheran faith. My blessings to you. And somebody else was in my first grade class because we always sang that.
Thank you, Marilyn. You know, I'm glad that Marilyn brought up Luther, but I was thinking, you know, this is what they said to Luther, because this is the kind of stuff he taught. He taught what Paul taught. And people said, well, you can't tell people that because then people won't do any good works. But I'm thinking this is the only way people will truly do good works. Because apart from knowing the freedom we have in Christ, we're always going to be doing good works because of ourselves, because we think this is gaining us something. We're going to get some blessing or benefit. And, you know, that's not a good thing when you do stuff just so you can get something for it.
That's why I got married.
Hey, that's why I got married too, and God taught me different. He said, hey, that's not what marriage is about. It's about sacrifice and love. And indeed, that's what Jesus Christ is going to teach every one of us with what goes on today. And trust me, it'll be okay. He won't give us more than we can bear.
15 seconds. Well, free food and free shows.
That's right. Yeah. Well, no, the shows aren't free.
Oh,
you
got
to pay for the shows on the 17th, 18th, 19th, October.
Plug them quickly.
Well, okay. We got the dinner theater, or not dinner theater. We got the play October 17th, 18th, 19th. A mission festival this week at Trinity Darmstadt at 10:30. And yes, the food is free there.
Yeah. And you said plentiful.
Plentiful, yeah.
So bring a sack.
They're still doing their old harvest festival kind of things out there, though.
Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, don't miss him, along with Pastor Matt Clark. Wrestling with the Basics, 9:05 every Saturday, right here on KFUO. Also, our thanks to the folks at St. Paul and Trinity, my friend. Great lesson.
Yes.
I love you, Kevin.
I love you too.
I love you, brother. Take care. Up next, Faith and Family. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study, Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.